Go to John chapter 10. I think for many of us, this is where our whole life in the Word started. John chapter 10. So this is like the fifth week in a row I'm teaching on healing. I hope no one's bored. But all these things, there's so many things that contribute to our physical, mental, and spiritual healing. And these are just some things. I mean, I'm sure there's more, but these are pretty good. Verse 10, it says, Jesus said, "The thief cometh not, but to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." Well, we're not to allow the adversary to, well, let me put it this way. We don't allow the adversary, the one who's responsible for sickness, to cause us to have condemnation because he has no dominion over us. Condemnation is one of the biggest life suckers that I know. It just sucks the life out of a human being. There is no profit whatsoever for ourselves. So the thief tries to steal that, our peace and everything else, by having us condemn ourselves. And usually it seems like the people who are the biggest at condemning themselves are the nicest, most loving people. Sounds good, but if you really want to be loving, it says, what's it say in 1 Corinthians? The love of God. Jeez, I used to know this. 13, you don't need to go there. Oh yeah, the love of God rejoices in the truth. Well, the truth is that we're not to condemn ourselves. Let's go to Romans 8. Romans chapter 8. Condemnation is something that will hinder our walks for sure. It can make us sick mentally for sure, and sometimes physically. And if you condemn yourself enough, it'll get to you spiritually. Romans 8, verse 1, it says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them who walk not after the flesh, but after the what?" Spirit. Yeah, they don't walk at, you know, you don't walk after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And there's no condemnation to them which are in Christ. To condemn means it's words against, or it's to find fault with, or to blame, or to, it's an adverse sentence, like falsely accused. "There is therefore now no more blame against you, no more fault finding against you." And this is referring to ourselves finding fault with ourselves, blaming ourselves, accusing ourselves. Words against ourselves. Let's say, suppose you did something that was wrong, which, if you're honest, is a daily occurrence. And then you let that thing bother you the rest of the day, and you let it bother you the next day and the next week. Where is the profit? What is the benefit to thinking about how lousy you are? To finding fault with yourself, to sentencing yourself, to accusing yourself, to speaking words against yourself. Where is the profit? What is the profit? There is no profit ever to do that. We know from the Word that it says, "Godly sorrow leadeth to repentance." If I've done something wrong, or if I've hurt someone, I feel bad. But I don't stay feeling bad, because the sorrow of the world leadeth to what? Death. Remember? Do you remember that in Corinthians? So the more we condemn ourselves, the more we're aiming ourselves towards the deathbed. There's no profit to it. There's none. Zero. So don't allow the adversary, the thief, to get you to really condemn yourself. You don't really live a more abundant life if you're always carrying a heavy load. and you're condemning yourself in your mind? What kind of witness are you? What kind of witness am I if I'm condemning myself all day long? Oh, poor, poor, pitiful me. That's what most Christians do. I talked to you last week about the guy I witnessed to, right? Yeah. The mm-hmm. Physical therapist mm-hmm. who is a Roman Catholic. Go to John chapter 3. So we're not to condemn ourselves. It's never right. It's never okay. And if there's anything that you can get out of, well, there's three things I want you to get out of tonight. Just three. Three things. Verse 16. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have what? For God sent not his Son in the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." Wow. He that believeth, verse 18, is not what? But he that doesn't believe is condemned already. We're not condemned. From God's point of view, we're not condemned at all. His point of view ought to be the point of view that we look to. I mean, that's right. He didn't send his Son to condemn the world. He sent his Son to bless the world. It's really cool. That the world through him might be saved, might be made whole. What kind of wholeness do we manifest if we're always condemning ourselves? He didn't come to condemn, but he came to save us so that we could have a life that's more than abundant. Man, 1 John chapter 3. I think of little kids all the time. I just love little kids. You know, kids younger than 5 years old. I think I like them more than most anybody. I just love little kids. Because they're a tremendous example of what we should be with our Father, God. They get yelled at by their parents and they get you spank your child, you reprove them, correct them. They cry. 10 minutes later, they're rubbed. They've been reproved. They get over it. We get reproved and we put our head in the sand. That's not right. Verse 20, it says, "For if our heart condemn us," chapter 3, "and God is greater than our heart." It's a great thing to remember. If our heart is condemning us, God's bigger than that. He's bigger than that. He knows all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God, which indicates when we're condemning ourselves, our confidence in God. Believing is having assurance in God. It is having confidence in God. Believing is having trust in God. If our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence towards God. We can be bold coming to the throne of grace, expecting for God to provide for us. Everywhere he makes a promise, we just absolutely expect him to bring that promise to pass. Because he's God. But if our heart condemns us, we can't get much done. If our heart gives us a damning sentence against us, we're not, which includes healing. Isn't healing part of the more abundant life? Isn't it?
Yeah.
I would think so. If we have a damning judgment, a damning sentence towards ourselves on a regular basis, it is going to hinder our healing and hurt us. At the very least, it hurts us mentally. And when we're hurt mentally, we can't have we don't have confidence in God. Our confidence is shot. So we do not want to condemn ourselves ever. Maybe do condemn themselves, not to condemn themselves. That doesn't mean you don't, you know, it says, study to show that all scripture is given by inspiration for doctrine, reproof, and correction. We need all three. The only one that's made it perfect through this life is Jesus Christ. So, you blow it, you blow it. You feel bad for 5 seconds and then you change. That's what you do. You move on. You say, well, that's easy for you, sir. You damn right it is. Because that's how I roll. I can't afford to do anything else but that. Otherwise, all I do is feel bad in my life. But if all I did was condemn myself about the mistakes I made, I'd never be able to teach God's word. I'd never be able to speak God's word. I wouldn't be very good at all. So, remember that saying, we are what God's word says we are. We have what God's word says we are. Nothing less is true. So we don't condemn ourselves. So what do? We claim our rights. We're righteous. Go to 1 Corinthians 2. We're sanctified. We're reconciled. We're complete. We're delivered. And a whole heck of a lot of other things. At the new birth, God gave us so many things so freely. And I read this verse a lot at fellowship. I read it a lot in my private life as well. Because these verses really mean, well, all verses mean a lot. But these are special to me. Now we have received, verse 12, not the spirit of the world. Well, praise God. The spirit which is of God. Why? Well, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Well, the reason we have the Spirit, well, in large part, is to know the things that we've been freely given, which things also we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. It makes me sad that there's so many preachers, so many ministers, who are good people, expecting people to enjoy that. And it's a bunch of baloney. God didn't call me to be religious. God didn't call me to make people feel bad. God called me to accept those things that are freely given to me and speak those things which are freely given to everybody. And that's a pretty good thing to remember. We speak those things to us first to ourselves. Then we speak it to others. Yesterday I was at this lawyer's office. And him and his staff were there. And I was there for like 5 minutes with business, not even that long. But as I was leaving, because I've already witnessed to the lawyer and to his staff, and I gave him a teaching. I taught him. I said, here's everything puts off something. This office puts off something. You people put off something. What are you putting off? And I said, God loves us. He wants us to manifest. And when love is manifested, it's very welcoming to anybody who's around. I said, there's an immutable law involved, and it's called giving and receiving. What we give, we get back. If you are giving off great things and wonderful things that are of God, you're going to get those things back. And I said, God bless. See you later. Well, I'm just enjoying this. I'm having a blast. So we're redeemed. We're righteous. We're sanctified. We're reconciled. And a whole heck of a lot of other things. We're complete. We have access to God. We have what the Word of God says. We, to the Creator of the heavens and the earth, we have access. Wow, that's pretty cool. So, remember who you are, and that will help you not condemn yourself. Remember who God's called you to be. Remember that He's all the different things that He's given us freely. They're like the manifestations of the Spirit. Just think about that. We can speak in tongues. We can interpret tongues. We can prophesy. We can receive the revelation, manifestations, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discerning of spirits. We can manifest his power. God has given us freely. Every single believer, even the Baptist. Everybody. The third thing I want us to remember tonight, and this maybe I'm going to spend the most time on, is forgiveness. And how forgiveness really contributes to healing. And how lack of forgiveness really harms a person. At times, condemnation and lack of forgiveness can be the cause of people's problems, whether physical or spiritual. For some reason or another, the adversary gets people to wallow in their junk, just feel like they're horrible people, which is condemnation. But then they go further and they don't forgive themselves. And if you're a person who doesn't forgive yourself too often, then you're also a person who probably has a hard time forgiving others. And God doesn't want us to live that way. Go to Mark chapter 2. Forgiveness is a huge contributor. Mark 2. Verse 1, we're just going to read. And again he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised about that he was in the house. Jesus in the house. And straightway, many were gathered together insomuch that there was no room to receive them. This was a packed house. Not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. And even because it's so full of people, and he preached God's word. And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which is born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. You know, this kind of reminds me of when I first got in the word, and I know it does Diane too. We've talked about it. How when we first got into God's word, there would be no room in the house where we had fellowship. There'd be people up the stairs. There would be people in the bathrooms, in the bathtub, because there'd be so many people there. And open the windows so people could hear. Diane in Wichita had the same thing go on there. And it was electrifying. Healing every night. Every time we had fellowship, people got healed. Because the believing expectation was so great. This is something very similar. There was no room for the sick man to get down. They got on the roof, they busted it up, and they let him down. And when Jesus saw their faith or their believing, he said unto the sick of the palsy, "Son, thy sins be forgiven thee?" What? Don't tell me forgiveness of sins cannot contribute to someone's health. Here was a man laid out, couldn't walk, crippled, whatever. He saw their believing. He said, "Your sins are forgiven." There, and they were reasoning in their hearts. You can hear him mumbling in the back. "Why does this man speak blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God only?" And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned with themselves, he got revelation. He said unto them, "Why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether it's easier to say to the sick of the palsy, 'Thy sins be forgiven thee,' or to say, 'Arise and take up thy bed and walk.' But that you might know the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive palsy, I say unto thee, arise, take up thy bed, and go thy way in thy house." And immediately he arose, took forth the bed, went forth before them all, insomuch that they all were amazed and glorified God, said, "We ain't never seen anything like this." Healing. The cause of that person's problem was forgiving. Somewhere in there was forgiveness or lack of forgiveness. His sins troubled him. He got relinquished of all those things. So cool. Look at Luke 23. So we need to be really good at going to God and accepting the forgiveness He's given us. And then also relieving the pressure that could be on people who are having trouble forgiving themselves for something they've done. And don't you kid yourself, that's many times I've been around for a while, and I watch it. I watch it, and I see people, and sometimes I don't address it, but I know it's a problem. And eventually I'll get around to it. Look at verse 34. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. This is when Jesus Christ is getting crucified. Beat down to where his own mama couldn't recognize him. He said, forgive them, for they know not what they do. They crucified him. They tortured him. They laughed at him. They mocked him to scorn. They nailed him to the cross. Yet he asked God to forgive him. We have a problem with forgiveness because somebody said bad about the clothes you wore. We have a problem because somebody did us wrong. When you get crucified, tortured, beat, mocked, even then, because we have Christ in us, we should say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Forgiveness, man, forgiveness. What a Lord and Savior we have. But we have Christ in us. You hold on to too many things too damn long. Let it go, dang it. Forgive them. Who are you to not forgive? I have a right. When I'm perfect and odor-free, then I can, you know, start pointing fingers. I ain't perfect, and I'm pretty odor free. But when I get nervous, I get a little odor. Or when I'm not feeling good, I get a little odor. So I'm most of the time.
Nunca.
Perfect. Nunca perfecto. No. Not me. You know, we have a problem forgiving. Jesus Christ gets the crap beat out of him. And you know the word. I mean, all the things that happened to him. Come on. Lack of forgiveness can ruin a person's health. It can keep you up at night. It can just screw you up. And if you hang on to that long enough, you're going to have spiritual problems too. To forgive, it means to send away or to dismiss. When a teacher in a classroom says, say to your head, class dismissed. It's done. Forgiveness means to send away. It's an acquittal of a defendant. You're not guilty. Okay. Forgiveness means to not punish. And when you have lack of forgiveness to yourself, and condemn yourself, you are punishing yourself unnecessarily every time you do it. I'd rather get punched in the head than to do that. It's to not punish, to forgive. It's where the guilty person is treated as if he's innocent. That's forgiveness. That's what we're supposed to do with ourselves and our own brains. Accept God's forgiveness. And that's what we're supposed to do towards our fellow believers. And forgiveness is so healing to the person who forgives. I've seen this so many times where I've wrapped somebody in my arms and just told them, I love you. It's okay. It's over with. What that does for a person is absolutely incredible. It heals them. And we need to do a better job at not condemning ourselves and not forgiving ourselves, and certainly condemning others or not forgiving others. It's so healing. Philippians 2:5, it says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." The mind of Jesus Christ, after he was being beaten, tortured, and all that stuff, was, "Father, forgive them." Well, we're to put on the mind of Christ. It says in Colossians here, in Philippians, it says, "Let this mind be in you." Look at Ephesians. Now I read the book of Ephesians. Now I got plenty of reasons to be an enthusiastic Christian man. Strike up my whatever the band. That's a great song. Ted Farrell. You know, when I went to the Rock of Ages 71 with George, I saw this Ted Mardell thing. And I was like, what is going on? It was amazing. He played a snare drum and sang, and she played the piano and sang, and it was just amazing to me. It was startling, I might say. Out and cooking mama, and I was like, what? But man, they were great. They did a lot of great things to bless people. Ephesians 4, verse 24. It says that you put on the new man, which God, after God, has created in righteousness and true holiness. I love this verse. You know why? Because it's not a question. It's a command. And George, when you were in Vietnam, Bill Tierney was in the military. I mean, you know, when you're given an order, you're given an order. Here, put on the new man. And it says, which after God has created in righteousness and true holiness. What's the downside to that, first of all? And second of all, it's something that God wants us to do. Look at verse 31. Let all. All means what?
All.
Let all bitterness and wrath and anger, and get away all malice. And one thing I've loved about God's word, I think ever since I got into God's word, is when God says, don't do something, he quickly tells you what to do, which is a great example of what a parent should be. You tell them what's wrong, but then you tell them how to correct it or what's right. Let all bitterness and wrath and clamor and evil speaking and all that stuff be put away from you with all malice. So here's the remedy to that. Instead of angry, instead of clamors, instead of evil speaking, be kind one to another, tenderhearted instead of all that stuff. Here it is, forgiving one another. Even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. You know, I may have hurt you at one point in my life. Probably if you spent enough time with me, maybe I did. The point God's word is making here is don't be bitter, don't be angry, don't be wrathful, don't be unforgiving, but be kind, be tenderhearted, be forgiving. Because remember, God has forgiven you. That's the essence here. Be kind. It means to be gentle. Be benevolent. To be good in spite of the ingratitude of someone else. If I would have stopped giving when people had done me wrong, believers had done me wrong, I would be a ripoff to myself and my own life, but it would be a ripoff to everybody else's life. You just keep moving to the best you can, you know? You make a mistake and you just keep moving. Somebody does you wrong, really hurts you. And I've had plenty of people do that. Plenty of people, probably more than most of you, if not all of you. And you just got to keep moving. Forgive and keep moving. You can't think about it all the time. Many times when people have done that to me, the next time, or, you know, if something's been said or something's been done to me, the next time I see them, I go up to them. I approach them and I tell them I love them. I think love covers the multitude of sins. This is what God's word tells us to do. It tells us to forgive instead of be bitter. It tells us to forgive instead of holding grudges, having wrath, being angry all the time. Being angry is not a good thing. It's not a good place to be. Colossians 3. So we don't condemn ourselves. We claim our rights and we're forgiving. And that contributes greatly to our healing wholeness. Physically. Mentally. Spiritually. 3:12. Put on, therefore. Well, we either put it on or we don't. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God. Can you imagine that we're called elected of God? I look in the mirror and I go, my God. He has a bigger, greater perspective than I do. We're elected of God. We're selected, elected, not infected, not disrespected. Holy and beloved. That's how he describes us. Holy and beloved. Put on bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. I don't want to read the next verse. Forgiving one another. Forbearing one another. And forgiving one another. If anybody has a quarrel against anybody, even as Christ forgave you, so do you. How hard is that to understand? And honestly, it shouldn't be that hard to apply. We're to hold the truths of God's word. We're not to hold on to lack of forgiveness and bitterness and wrath and clamor, evil speaking. Let's say you do evilly speak. Is evilly a right word? Let's say you speak evil someday of somebody. Okay, well, cut it out. Ask God for forgiveness. And if the person, you can tell them, you know, I'm sorry I said that. Then it's done. It's done. It's done. People get in a lot of trouble by lack of forgiveness, lack of all that. People get in a lot of trouble spiritually, physically, mentally. If I even remotely think I've hurt somebody, oh God, I can't sleep. Literally, I can't. And the next day, I'm chasing them down to find out if I did hurt them. Now, maybe I shouldn't do all that, but that's me. It drives me nuts if I think I've done something or said something. I can't sleep. I don't ever want to be responsible for that. Although I know sometimes I have been. And so when I have been, I try to get to that person, say I'm sorry, or we straighten it out. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. You know, if the body of Christ is going to function in a great way, there has to be an incredible amount of forgiveness and believing in people, respecting in people, showing them that they're needed, etc. It's very, very important. I don't even understand it, other than if you didn't understand the devil, you'd never understand how come people can't just move the word together. I don't get it. It's just the devil's a prick. And I guess that's why. But we've been so blessed. We ought to be so thankful that it's moving. It's really moving. The word is moving. 2 Corinthians 2, verse 10. To whom you forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgave anything, to whom I forgave it, for your sakes forgave I in this person of Christ. Lest Satan should get an advantage of you. For we're not ignorant of his devices. One of his devices is lack of forgiveness. It's a big one. Otherwise, why would it say it in the context of that? Lest Satan should get an advantage of us. We're not ignorant. We're not stupid. There's seven things in the word that says we're not to be ignorant of, and this is one of them. One of the devices that Satan uses is to not be forgiving, to not accept God's forgiveness and not be forgiving of others. Boy, oh boy, oh boy. Let's not be accused of that. I might get mad at somebody, but that don't mean I don't love them, and that doesn't mean I don't forgive them. Anybody who knows me knows that I'm that way. And that's one of his great devices, is not to be forgiving. 1 John chapter 1. You all know it. Verse 9. It says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What a verse. That is a power-packed verse. We had that word last week, confess, homologeo. You know, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just. Who is? God is. God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us through and through our sins. And from all unrighteousness. 103rd Psalm, Psalm 103. I tell you, I've really been getting blessed looking at all these things in the Word through these weeks. It's been good for my brain. But there's so many things in the Word to contribute to healing. You know, if we just thought about it in light of what it brings to our lives in a healing way. Look at verse 1. Psalm 103, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is in within me. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Here we go. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, forgiveness and healing in the same verse. He forgives all our iniquities. He heals all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness. It'd be nice if it said kindness. It'd be nice if it said loving, but it's loving kindness. And tender mercies. It could say mercies. But it says tender mercies. Tender. Who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. That big old eagle goes way up into the top, and then he dives down into the water, and all his old feathers are gone, and he grows them back. His youth was renewed like an eagle. The Lord executed righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. Oppressed is of the devil. Depressed is of the devil. Those are devilish things. Depression so many times comes from thinking you're not good enough or you're so bad or all the stuff we're talking about. Oppression too. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful. He's merciful. And he's gracious. He's slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He's not always going to beat you up. He's not going to chide. Neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dwelt with us after our own sins. Well, praise God, and triple praise God. He hasn't rewarded us according to our iniquities. Great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, and we know that never meets up, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. He has forgiven us. He has given us tender mercies. And certainly God hasn't changed. These truths here in Psalm 103 hasn't changed in the administrations. He's been that way faithful all the way through. Well, verse 14. For For he knoweth our frame. He remembers that we're dust. He loves us. He knows we're dust. Psalm 86. So we shouldn't condemn ourselves. We should remember what God's word says about who we are and what we have. And we should be forgiving. And I think if we do those things, if nothing else, our minds are going to be a lot more healthy. And I'm sure that the body will come right along with that. Verse 5. For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive, and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. Give ear, O Lord, unto my prayer, and attend to the voice of my supplications. In the day of my trouble I will call upon thee, for thou wilt answer me. Among the gods there's none like unto thee, O Lord, neither are there any works like unto thy works. All nations whom thou hast made shall come and worship before thee, O great. And thou doest wondrous things. Thou art God alone. Teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. I will praise thee, O Lord my God, with all my heart, and I will glorify thy name forevermore. For great is thy mercy toward me. And thou hast delivered my soul from the lowest hell. O God, the proud are risen against me, and the assemblies of violent men have sought after my soul, and have not set thee before them. But thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion. Look at all these things. Look at all these adjectives that describe God. Full of compassion, gracious, long-suffering, plenteous in mercy and truth. O turn unto me and have mercy upon me. Give thy strength unto thy servant, and save thy son of thy handmaid. Show unto me a token for good, that they which hate me may see it and be ashamed, because thou, Lord, hast hope in me and comforted me. That's God. Look at Psalm, look at 85. Verse 7. Show us thy mercy, O Lord, and grant us thy salvation. I will hear what the Lord will speak, for he'll speak peace unto his people. If our mind is condemned, if our heart is not forgiving us or not forgiving someone else, our hearts are not at peace. And boy, we need peace. If we're going to minister to others, we have to be ones who are ministered to ourselves if we're going to do it effectively. I will hear what the Lord will speak. He'll speak peace to his people, to his saints. Let them not turn again to folly. Sure, his salvation is nigh to them that fear him, that glory may dwell in our land. Mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace, they're kissing each other. Truth shall spring out of the earth. Well, praise the Lord. And righteousness shall look down from heaven. Yea, the Lord shall give that which is good, and our land shall yield or increase. Righteousness shall go before him and shall set us in the way of his steps. You know, there's no profit to condemning ourselves. If we don't condemn ourselves and we claim what's freely been given to us and accept God's forgiveness to ourselves and others, this is going to contribute really greatly to our health mentally, physically, and spiritually. So what we do is we continue to do our best to accept everything God said about us freely. We're forgiven, we're not condemned, and we're righteous, we're redeemed, we're sanctified, we're justified, we're reconciled. We're complete and a lot of other things. So thanks, God, that you've given us, and thank you for your word and how simple it is. Thanks that this work can provide healing wholeness to our lives in every way, aspect of our lives, and that our lives can help heal and deliver other people, Father, because we accept what you've given us. which is all good. Pray, Father, for the health and strength of these folks that are here and for blessing them exceeding abundantly above all that they could ask or think according to your power. Thank you, Father, for your word that you've magnified above your name. And what an emphasis you've made on how much you love us and how you've forgiven us. And just for a great night in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.